Hello, it's Monday, January 9th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 38. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you have an email you want to send us, or some audio or whatnot, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Today we have three guys in addition to myself. We have Bob.
I'm being evicted.
We have Keith.
I'm starting tax season.
And we have Tom.
Hey, everybody. Doesn't it seem like forever since we last did a show?
Because it was.
It was, yeah.
Apparently, forever equates to...
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
For the last, I don't know, an hour or so now, we've been screwing around with the audio, trying to get everything to work, and it hasn't been cooperating.
I should have stayed upstairs playing Guitar Hero.
Let's go over what we're going to talk about this week. We will be looking into what's new at DreamStation, Sony's CES highlights, Xbox 360 hacking, the external high-definition DVD for the 360, some Nintendo news, the fact that Maryland and Indiana are dumb, we have a Quake 4 PC review, we have Factor Crap, we have a discussion about a virtual goods tax, our forum question, and our mailbag. And nobody made a snide remark when I said Maryland and Indiana are dumb.
That's a given.
I don't think I've ever actually been to Indiana for anything. Those big square mountain states over there in the middle, it's just a conspiracy of cartographers. I stole that joke, by the way. I won't tell you where I stole it from. If anyone can figure out where I stole that joke from, I'll give you.
Next topic.
In housekeeping, back to the grind, as Bob pointed out, shows are going to come out once per week again. The holidays are over. Hope you guys had a good time.
That was Tom.
Same thing, dude.
What'd I do?
You all sound the same. iTunes has a video game podcast featured section again. We're not even on it.
Sweet. You're kidding. They put it on the front page, and we didn't make it.
It's filled with non-independent podcasts like 1UP and IGN and PC Gamer or whatever.
We were always on the video game section.
Not this time, dude. Blood Rain is out in theaters. The reviews are very, very bad.
It looked like it was going to be released straight to DVD from the quality of it.
It made a measly $1.2 million. So Michael Madsen was drunk on the set just about every day. Ben Kingsley refused to shoot scenes with him because he thinks he's a drunken idiot. The casting happened a mere 2 weeks before the filming, so nobody had any time to do any actual weapons training. You can imagine the fights are going to be pretty good. There was a scene where they needed Romanian prostitutes, so they just went and hired them.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh my god.
They're like, we need a whole bunch of Romanian prostitutes. 150 euros? Yes, yes, girls, come here. Sit around Meatloaf. Meatloaf the singer. Yes, Meatloaf the singer is in the movie, so.
So let's not even
It'd be more entertaining if it was just a bunch of prostitutes dancing around an actual plate of meatloaf.
I don't think that movie counts as acting now. She's like, okay, well, we need a drunken sot for this part. And, like, dude just starts drinking. Okay, we need hookers for this part. There's some hookers.
The State of the Game episode sounded like it was a hit. Some of the people said that the last few awards were a little too similar, but it will evolve, whatever. And last in the housekeeping section here, in semi-related news, 1UP.com had or has some sort of top WTF moments of 2005, kind of like what we had. Their number one was the Xbox Core System, which they call it the Tard Pack. On his blog, a certain mouthpiece of Microsoft said that we all know that the core system is not for everyone, but people must want it because they're sold out everywhere.
Oh my god. Welcome to the Sahara Desert. You can either have this bucket of sand or this fresh cup of I just urinated into. What would you prefer? It's amazing. All of them chose my cup of urine. It must be in demand.
Just to let you know, I picked the sand.
Well, it depends. Keith, what have you just been drinking?
Next topic.
New at DreamStation, we have reviews for the PlayStation 2, Inuyasha Feudal Combat. We have the DS review for Sonic Rush. We have an Xbox 360 review of Quake 4. We have that Space Pirates DVD review up there. I'm sure you guys know how that one turns out. Techno Classic Arcade for the Xbox. Jack X Racing for the PS2. We have a review of a 1GB Memory Stick Pro Duo for the PS3. It gets a 10. It remembered everything I told it.
I press save and it saved. I press open and it opened.
This is the greatest memory stick ever.
In his defense, he actually did a pretty thorough job. He has, like, speeds and stuff of how fast it is to save different sized files on your PSP. And moving right along for another sleeper hit of the summer, Nancy Drew, Lost Train to Blue Moon. So we have an Xbox review of Spartan Total Warrior. We have an Xbox 360 review of Ridge Racer 6. Xbox 360 review of King Kong, Xbox review of Sniper Elite, and lastly, we have some CES coverage. That's the Consumer Electronics Show. We have coverage and pictures and stuff.
Next topic.
We have Sony's CES highlights. So, again, there was this Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. We had some staff out there covering. What did Sony talk about? Well, they focused on a vision of a, quote, digital future. And they didn't say a jack thing about the PlayStation 3 and its juicy details. The only thing that came out was that they said that they had 4,000 PS3 dev kits that have been released. And they ripped on the Xbox saying that the PSP and the PS2 outsold the hard-to-find Xbox 360. Well, yeah, it was hard to find. They also had the gonads to say that the next generation doesn't start until Wii says it does. So
Sony's a big company that does a whole lot more than the PlayStation, though.
They are, and in their defense, they had a whole bunch of highlights of everything but the PlayStation. But as a video game podcast, the part we care about is the PlayStation part.
Next topic.
So, Xbox 360 hacking. Let's get into this a little bit here. Hackers have taken the kiosk discs that you've seen in, like, Walmart and Best Buy. They've gotten them to run on PC because Hexic is really just a Flash game, and they ran it in a browser. Hexic is that hexagonal, like a Tetris-style puzzle game. It also, they modified the source code of Hexic, and they ran it on an Xbox 360 while the Xbox was on live. So that's kind of neat, actually. They also hacked it to unlock the Hexic achievements without actually getting them. There's this gamer tag score thing where as you do stuff, you unlock points and you get achievements that go into your gamertag score. That's not as big of a deal because they do not update to the leaderboards on the kiosks versions of the Xbox demo discs, but that just means that in the future they might actually know how to get it to work, especially if it ran while it was on live. They ran Flash applications like clocks and stuff, again, because all that stuff's Flash. They ran on the 360, no big deal. They actually modified the King Kong game to show messages on the screen, so that shows that you can actually access the graphics engines and the GPUs and stuff. They've gotten the games, they've made ISOs out of them. Mod chips are officially out. So this whole unhackable and all that other stuff, dude, it's out. Too bad.
Oh, dude, come on. Of course it's going to be hackable and faulty.
It's been, what, 2-3 months? I'm surprised it lasted that long. One other thing on this, there's an Xbox Live hack. If you want to get demos and stuff from other regions, like the Japan demo of the wrestling game that doesn't going to come out over here.
Oh, that's cool.
What you do is you make a silver account, which is a free account. You make it with a passport email address that uses a different home country. So let's say, Tom, you want to make a passport email address with a Japanese home base and Japanese address. Mm-hmm. And when you make a silver account, you link it to that passport address. And poof, it thinks you're in Japan and you're good to go. You can download all those Japanese demos. So
just be able to read Japanese.
That's a good point. I guess what I should say is I have not tested this. I have not done this. DreamStation isn't responsible. Yada, yada, yada. All those other disclaimers. Try at your own risk.
Next topic.
The whole Xbox 360 has been revealed at CES to have an external HD DVD drive. Peter Moore announced that they're going to be the external drive for the 360 later this year. It's for movie playback, however, not games, so games aren't going to be able to save face by, you know, they were running out of space on that 9GB DVD disc. They won't be able to fit any more on because this is for movies only.
That'll change.
High-definition discs hold, I want to say, 30GB, whereas a regular DVD holds 9GB.
Oh, okay, so you're saying it's an actual, like, player-type thing, not just a hard drive.
Right, it's an actual HD DVD player.
3 years from now, when a studio with a popular title wants to make a game that think they need more disk space, they'll do an HD DVD game, and Microsoft will allow it. I'm sure they can get what they want.
EA Madden 2007?
Exactly. When EA Madden 2007 needs extra room for the roster expansions, Microsoft will cave, and then everyone will need an HD DVD to play a game.
It's further segregating the market, although, again, I'd rather it be external so that people who bought it first launch, you know, like me, aren't totally hosed. They don't have a price yet, but I would assume that it's going to be sort of expensive because I believe that those HD DVD drives and those players are something like $400 or $500.
No, I like this because Microsoft's slowly making the console market just like the PC market. No one will have the same hardware setup.
It's pretty interesting that you say that because they were talking about the production of the 360s and how basically they didn't have enough. There's higher demand than supply. They're getting more production plants, so that's going to help. He also was very impressed that there's an average of 4 games sold per Xbox and 3 accessories sold per Xbox. They're all in this accessory market. They're going to have these face plates. They have all these different peripherals because they're losing so much money on the systems. You've got to make it back somehow. So this extra $10 per game, I think 5 of it goes to Microsoft. And in addition to that, you have all these stupid little peripherals that are pointless. A faceplate. Come on, what do you need that for?
To match my drapes.
He also pimped Xbox Live. 10% of the people, if you guys remember, were on Xbox Live for Xbox One. 50% of the dudes that have an an Xbox 360 are on Live. Probably because it came for free with Live. I mean.
Next topic.
In Nintendo news, this one is amazing for Nintendo, actually. The Nintendo DS has sold 13 million units worldwide. 4 million in the United States, and a whole buttload more in Japan. Tons of games went over the million sales mark. WarioWare, Brain Flex, Mario Kart, Nintendogs, Animal Crossing, and others. 78% market share over the Sony PSP, so congrats to Nintendo.
Good.
Everybody I showed the DS to with its library of games finally now, they're kind of impressed by it. We ripped on the Nintendo DS for quite a while because it, just like the PSP, didn't have enough good games, and the PSP now is the sole owner of the crappy games not worth having.
Yeah, well, except you could play your Game Boy Advance games on the DS. So that was a plus for the platform.
The Nintendo Revolution, they said sort of what the price was going to be. It was announced, I think, last week, maybe the week before, but again, since we didn't have a show, you don't know this.
We don't know. Let's all do a poll.
Okay.
$250.
$300.
$1.
You're going to do the old prices right. The correct answer? Well, no, Keith went over because it's going to be less than $300. So Tom wins with $1. They just said less than $300. So what does that mean in English? $299.99. I really, really hope that it's not $299.99. I was going to guess it at around $200, and that way it'd be an instant success, get out into families. I don't think $300 is the must-have point for the American audience.
I'll be disappointed if it's anything more than $99.99.
Next topic.
I have some news. I have a funny occurrence that happened to me the other day, that it finally happened. Something that I always knew would happen. I played Counter-Strike Source as MC Fragslot, and I joined a server, and like someone noticed me and just started saying ham sandwich over and over again.
Oh, really? That's awesome, dude. Ham, ham,
ham, ham, ham. So kudos to you, whoever you were. I can't remember because I quit out because I was getting bad ping.
Wait, is that an excuse I just heard?
No, actually, I didn't want to suck in front of somebody who knew me. But if anyone who wants to play Counter-Strike Source with me, I normally play on the bombsquad.com server, and that's bomb spelled B-A-H-M. Squad.com.
Wow. Next topic.
Maryland and Indiana are dumb. California, Illinois, Michigan, Florida, Delaware. All of these places have tried to pass the violent video game legislation. All of these places have failed to pass violent video game legislation. Most, again, are getting shot down by judges for being too vague or unconstitutional. So what does Maryland and Indiana try and do? Take a wild guess.
It's now illegal to get married in a bathtub standing on one foot.
You're close. They're trying to pass violent video game legislation. Well, they're trying to get two different bills, actually. They're going to get one about adult-rated games, that AO, adults only, and they're finding people for getting that into kiddies' hands. That's fine. I think that's a good idea. So the other law that they want to do, like California, where they just basically want to ignore the ESRB ratings and put their own ratings on the box, in addition to their usual, don't let little kids play this stuff. There was an interesting quote, which is our quote of the week this week. Sorry, this quote was from Indiana State Senator V. Simpson. Right now, kids can walk into just about any store and get their hands on violent video games in which they can shoot police officers, use drugs, steal cars, rape women, even assassinate a president. That's frightening, to say the least.
And right now, if you walk out on the streets of Detroit, you can buy firearms, kill cops, and even assassinate the president.
I was just going to say that. Touche. Good job.
Except RoboCop will kill you if you go to Detroit. Sorry.
Oh, yeah! That's Kool-Aid Man, but... Well, Kool-Aid Man might get you, too. Who knows?
170 people murdered in Detroit last year, just so you know. I got the Excel sheet right here.
Did all of them have stained red lips?
Oh, yeah, I'm filled with cyanide! Oh, yeah!
Oh, no!
Oh, no. So, yeah, again, Maryland and Indiana, pay attention to the world around you. Realize this isn't going to work.
Next topic.
All right, so we're going to have a review here of Quake 4 for the PC. This one is by MC Fragslot, so he is very familiar with the genre.
I don't want to talk like for 2 minutes straight about this one game. Would you like you'll ask me a short question, and I'll give like you an answer about the game.
Anything new in the FPS genre, or have we played this game 74,000 times before?
If you already played Doom 3 and you already played Quake 3, then you've pretty much covered your base with Quake 4, because single-player storyline is just like Doom 3, and all the multiplayer options are the same, even a lot of the maps are same, from Quake 3. So there's nothing new in that respect. I was looking forward to this because the last time third party did an id title was, what's their name that did Return to Castle Wolfenstein?
Grey Matter.
And they did, and Return to Castle Wolfenstein ended up being one of the best first-person shooters on the PC platform. They had compelling single player and just wildly fun multiplayer. Yeah, I played that for such a long time. It had such great replay value. So, you know, I was really looking forward to Raven. But basically, the first-person story, there's nothing new. It's a lot of find the button, push the button, open up the door to the next level. So we've been there, we've done that. Multiplayer is deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag. We've been there, done that. They've offered nothing. My real big beef with multiplayer is really bad in-game browser.
They didn't even use like a GameSpy or something? They were just totally on their own?
Totally their own browser. So basically, for multiplayer, because it was nothing new, I'm giving it, it was C. It was very average. For
1 through 10, you did.
No. This I'm giving a grade, because I thought long and hard about this, and then I came up with letter grade, so I'm sticking with it. Because in general, when you think of first-person shooters, it's the Gordon Freeman model. You're the lone guy against the entire world. Yeah. And they tried to break from that by having a lot of non-player characters that fight alongside you in this game. So they tried to make you feel like you're part of a Marine squadron. And they weren't entirely successful at that,
then.
Because you end up having to split off for most of the game by yourself anyways.
Can you shoot your other Marines?
No, you cannot. The multiplayer, I'm giving it a D. It's below average. Post Battlefield 2, you can't come out with a game that just has deathmatch, team deathmatch, and capture the flag. You have to give us something more, and they didn't.
I agree.
Vehicles would have been nice. They had vehicles in single player part of the game. They didn't have anything like that in multiplayer. One plus side is the game looked spectacular. So if you haven't played Doom 3 and you do want to see what John Carmack has done, I played it at 800 by 600 at 4X anti-aliasing, and I was very happy with that, actually. Oh, they do drop F-bombs. The non-player characters drop F-bombs.
Whoop. Yeah. This game is not for children.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's standard id stuff. Cybernetic demons, zombies, a lot of gore, people hanging by meat hooks. So it's like, yeah, so if you've played any id game in the past, you've seen this game.
So you're giving the overall game, you give it a C and a D.
I give it for A for graphics because it looks spectacular once you turn anti-aliasing on.
Oh, wow, that was a really good review, Tom.
Next topic.
So it's time for Factor Crap. We have one crap and two facts. The first one, there's a game called Second Life. It's one of those virtual living simulator thing, MMOs. It has virtual avatar porn that you buy for real-world cash. The second one is that EverQuest 1 will officially not be getting any more expansions. The game is done. Number three, a cancer center isolated a cancer gene, and they abbreviated it Pokemon.
They abbreviated it Pokemon? That's too long of an abbreviation.
I want to go first. I pick EverQuest 1 has no more expansions as being the piece of crap, because that's a cash cow. They will never stop making expansions for it.
My milk has gone dry. Please let me die.
Wizard of the Coast with magic.
I go to milk it, but I just get clumps of dust. But at least I get something. I agree with Bob, and you've already heard my logic.
And Tom?
The EverQuest 1's a crap.
The crap was EverQuest. That's crap. Like everyone said, it's a milk cow. They're actually going to be releasing another patch. It's going to come out in February of this year for $30 for a retail box and $25 for a downloaded version. Same thing goes for the EverQuest 2 expansion. It's going to get released in the same time frame, and I just told you the cost. So congrats, all three of you.
Yay!
The game Second Life, the virtual avatar porn that you buy for real cash. The magazine is called Slustler, and it costs 60 cents each issue, and it has 100 different pages. And lastly, the Cancer Center. About a year ago, isolated a cancer-causing gene. The name of that gene, Pocothyroid Myeloid Onychotoid Gene. What does that abbreviate to? Pokemon.
Yeah, I actually read this some time ago.
They actually, Nintendo USA threatened legal action, so the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center had to change the name of the gene. They changed the name.
You let them cancer researchers know who's boss.
Yeah, it's like, it's cancer research. They figured out a gene that causes cancer, and the first thing they say is, no, Pikachu, do not equate him with evil diseases that slay millions. So they changed the name to the equally understandable ZBTB7. ZBDBDB7.
Wait, you actually just said that, like, properly. You know what I'd say, though, if I was that company? I'd be like, fine. All your people are dying of cancer because we're not giving you this. Where is that mushroom on his head? It's because he's got leukemia.
Toad's got leukemia.
Next topic.
The last real topic of the week is something that I found on Legal Affairs. Virtual good...
Tax on virtual goods.
Thank you, Keith. Okay, so Legal Affairs, it's a legal magazine / website. They had an interesting article about taxing online goods, even when being bartered. So we all know that basically if you sell stuff on eBay, you get a sword in World of Warcraft, you can sell it on eBay. While it's not really legal according to Blizzard, it actually is taxable income that you should really report on your IRS statements. The IRS law actually says, and Keith's an accountant, so he'll get to speak in a moment here, the item is taxable the moment something is sold or changes ownership. There are laws for bartering, so yes, trading your suit of epic armor for an epic sword. Now again, Warcraft, that's a bad example, so I'm not showing my noobness, but let's just pretend. Because you're trading, that's bartering, and basically you use fair market value for tax purposes. The article says that a tax guy was called. The tax guy said that items actually don't have a common market value. So while little Timmy knows that $25 will get you 100 gold in World of Warcraft, old Grandma Johnson probably doesn't know that. So it's not common enough to actually be used. In the end, yes, the IRS probably should and could be taxing virtual items and their trade and sale, but there's too much unclarity. There won't be any changes in the immediate future.
My only thing to say is this. I think this is kind of the first step towards internet taxation anyways. I mean, politicians have started to make rumblings about taxing all electronic transactions. I mean, it's only a matter of time.
The electronic transactions are taxable right now, but it's based on state.
I mean, that's been since you started buying things online, though. But the thing that this is talking about, though, is virtual items.
Anything that you make money on, you're supposed to report to the IRS.
What about the GameCube I sold?
You should report.
But I sold it to a Canadian.
Doesn't matter. Because Canada's not real. They're like Eskimos.
Exactly.
And elves.
Screw them. I reported my GameCube money on my IRS, so take that, tax guy.
It's a good place to say that on a public podcast that has 4,000 listeners.
The best part about this article was this guy tried to report sale of virtual items as his main source of income. I guess he sold something like $11,000 worth of stuff, and so he calls the IRS, and he's trying to figure out like what to report this as. The article goes through his adventures and everybody laughing at him until he said that how much did you make, and he's like $11,000. They're like, wow, okay, Important point that he brought up in the article was the barterable goods. So if you have X dollars worth of barterable goods that come into your possession, even though if you didn't pay any money for them, you're still supposed to report them. But where does that end? They brought up a point of, so what's going to happen now every time you pick up a gold piece that could be sold for real money on eBay? Do you have to, report that to the IRS?
No, because it has to be a commonly accepted
seems so vague. What common market? I mean,
like a service or something is commonly accepted. If I'm an accountant and I'm with Chris and he's the programmer and I say, all right, I'll do your taxes, you fix my computer. Those are two services that people know a value to. If you were going to report it properly with the barter system thing.
And barter, for those of you who don't mean, means to trade.
Bartering would be like, we're going to take Manhattan and give you some wampa and a gun. That's a barter.
And what I think the companies are trying to do now is they say, look, everything in this game isn't yours. It's property of Blizzard. So as soon as you sell something, you're technically stealing.
Everything in WoW belongs to Blizzard.
Belongs to Blizzard,
yes. If you sell it, it still belongs to Blizzard. So
you got money for it.
Well, it's theft.
Why?
If you sell my car and it's mine,
and you didn't give
them
the money. It's
still yours.
You
can take it back
at
any time. Blizzard can take back their stuff at any time.
It doesn't. First of all, it would ruin. I mean, the second they try to tax virtual goods, it'll completely destroy MMOs because the cost, track, and document every single character to character to character transaction.
More than just character to character. If you kill a dragon and it drops something that you could sell on eBay and its fair market value is $20, don't you have to report that as well? I was talking to Keith about this earlier. So Strom Dragon Slayer has to fill out a virtual tax sheet to the virtual IRS. I killed three bunnies and got...
A little pixie shows up with a contract. Congratulations, so epic sword. You owe us $10.
Hail, mighty adventurer. What have you slain? I have slain 8 rabbits, a dragon, a gargoyle.
My booty is great. My income tax this year is 30,000 gold.
Piece of meat dropped from rabbit. I had 49
Let's see.
Of those.
Moist, squishy basilisk eye that falls under code section 254. And,
For those of you on the Mediv server, if you don't want to get busted by the IRS, we've just started a virtual charity, so it can put you in a lower virtual tax bracket, so you can donate stuff to us, and it's non-profit, and it's a tax write-off. I'm going to start a company where virtual children starve daily, and the only way to save them is to contribute virtual money to this account. For less than a cup of coffee per day, you can stop virtual children from virtually dying in a virtual country.
This would be a great way to launder money right now. $25,000 that you needed to get rid of, you just start buying up game properties and then transfer them in your account and then resell them.
Then you could just resell them and say, no, I just found this normally in the game.
Next topic.
So our forum question, if you go to www.dreamstation.cc, we have a general forums. You can go to the left side there. We had a current poll from a couple weeks ago. What's your favorite genre of video game? I'm not going to list them all, but we had all kinds of FPS, RTS, turn-based strategy, blah, 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 blah. And what are the results of the polls?
Clear winner was first-person shooter with 35.9%.
36% did first-person shooters as their favorite.
Role-playing was strong number two with 17.9%. And then we had two tied for number three, real-time strategy and racing games, both clocked in at 7.6%. I thought it funny, though, that sports got 0%. So sorry, Mr. John Madden.
Really?
Nobody likes your games.
I would have expected Puzzle to have more.
What are some of the comments we have here? Tom, could you pick out four or five of them that were pretty good?
I want to start out with Pimp McPimp, because I love old Pimpy, as I call him, because he always has the most insightful forum posts. Well, Pimpy says, I picked the wrong option. I love Pimpy. Danger Boy says, with a good RPG, you've got everything you need in a video game. Enthralling story, new world to explore and discover, engaging and memorable characters, and the best thing, 40-plus hours of gameplay. I picked out Danger Boy's post because I wanted to disagree with it. I get a lot more gameplay out of an RTS or first-person shooter.
Multiplayer over and over.
Exactly, because look how much StarCraft I played. Look how much Counter-Strike I played. Oh, how about Ninja Fae? I am most at home with only one type of game. It's the RTS genre. But all of them, only one series of games is enjoyed, and that is Command & Conquer, all of them except Renegade. And I picked her post because I agree, I love Command & Conquer, and I don't understand what they were thinking when they came out with Renegade.
And may I also say, never play Scrabble with her, because she will beat you like a redheaded stepchild.
She used a lot of big words in her post, I could see that. Okay, Pie Man. I think this was his first post ever on our forums. Pie Man says, side scrollers all the way, old school gaming for an old school kind of guy. So I respect that, I tip my hat to Pie Man there.
Yeah. The Gradius series, some of the best games ever made. So overall, good polls. So for next week, I figure a decent question, which I have to thank Master Chief for this. Do you buy special versions of games? For example, Collector's Edition, or when the Mortal Kombat games came out, they came out with different covers. Sometimes you can get like a Dead or Alive bundle that comes with a arcade stick.
The Game of the Year editions.
All that stuff.
Next topic.
Let's do the mailbag. Got a lot of mail. Thank you. Keep them coming. Also played a lot of Xbox Live with a lot of different people over the week.
Any audio mail?
I enjoy the audio mail. The audio mail is very good. I just got an email. This one's from Ben Drake. It says, hey guys, I've got a theme. I'd like to share it with you. I didn't put it as an attachment, but I did upload it, and he put the link. It's called the theme of MC Frags-a-Lot.
Nice.
Frag the noobs, frag the noobs.
Ben Drake goes on to say, I'm also trying to get a little publicity for my free podcast theme site. Would appreciate it if you would mention it. He's noticed that there's a website called podcastthemes.com, and it has steep prices. He's starting something called freepodcastthemes.tk. I'll put the show notes. We'll have a link. He's going to put up some themes, and if someone claims, they can have it as their podcast theme. He will also be taking requests. So
next time we're over your house, we're going to put some words in the background of that.
Two ham sandwiches for you, my friend. Ham. Your site will get much pimpage, and actually, you have just become the intro and outro music this week. But yes, yeah, so Ben Drake, thank you for the theme. Tony from Indianapolis, he says, hey guys, this is from Indianapolis in Indiana, right? Indianapolis? IN is Indiana, right?
Well, no, I'm an American. How am I supposed to know these things?
This one says, hey guys, I've been listening to your show since episode one. Great podcast. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Tony. I just thought I'd bring up this little bit of irony that I find funny about the 360. A few podcasts back, you talked about how Microsoft exec commented that the PS3 looked like it lacked ventilation on the slots and wondered about the possibility of overheating issues. That is pretty ironic, actually. Here we are a few weeks after launch, and we all have this talk about people's 360s overheating. I don't know if you find this funny, but I'm laughing. Also, which processor do you think it's better, AMD or Intel? I'm building a computer after the holidays, and I'm having trouble deciding on a CPU. MC Frags-a-Lot, let's point this one in your general direction.
Oh, AMD. In the price-performance category, AMD always tops Intel. Intel exists on their marketing, not on their technology.
I'm an Intel fanboy, so... this one is from Antheritic. This says, hi from the UK. Great podcast. Been listening for a couple of months now. I wanted to go through the toil of an email to let you know this and ask a question. Do you fear that RPGs will drop single player / offline play in the next few years? You see, I don't play enough to justify a subscription and feel that the end is near. Keith, you're the resident RPG dude.
No, it's going to be around for a while. In fact, I'll be surprised to see not more of them pop up.
Okay, so to clarify here then, Keith is saying that he believes that MMOs are actually going to be more and more, and you are correct in thinking that it's going to die off.
Though, of course, with World of Warcraft just dominating everyone like it is, you may see a couple people go to just a regular RPG game, but They're making too much money on the subscription thing. They're not going to just stop doing that.
Are we talking?
This one was a story that MacMan sent in. Unfortunately, not everyone in the show was in it, but I said, hey, what's up? Where's the love? He said, this is the first of a series of stories, so more will be coming. This one's called Emilio, the Whooping Llama Goes to the Video Game Store by MacMan. People are fascinated by this character. One bright and sunny day, Emilio woke up and saw that his owner had brought him food. Emilio was hungry. He munched the food right up and then took a nap. Emilio, wake up. Emilio got up and saw his owner, Chris. Emilio licked Chris's face and waited for him to talk. Want to go to Game Stoop with me? Chris asked. Emilio loved going to Game Stoop because of all the neat games they had. So Chris got on Emilio and rode to Game Stoop. When they got inside, they saw Chris's friend Phil in a toga with a saber, slaying the children while screaming, Halo 2! Therefore, keeping Chris's show in iTunes for yet another week. Phil then ran out to leave Chris to his shopping. Emilio went through the aisles shouting whoop whoop every time he saw more breast than head. Chris then decided to get Grand Stealing Bikes, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Emilio whooped all the way home. When they arrived at the house, he put it on his new USOC 360 and played it on his internet connection. While after a while, he found his friend MC Frags-a-Lot. Chris soon was pwned by MC's special pwning face. Fraggy jumped out of the TV and kicked Emilio and Chris violently so his face would be the last thing they would ever see. The end. So that was pretty good, dude, and he said more are coming.
Funny. Awesome. I wonder if he could do a dramatic reading of them and then send us the audio.
All right, this one's from Atticus.
We need Emilio t-shirts now.
Atticus414 says, what's your guys' deal with Halo? I was listening to your show and I heard you guys ragging on Halo. I know it didn't bring anything new to the table, but it was a pretty solid first-person shooter, so why are you guys hating? Love the show. Keep it up.
I don't think it's so much hating. It's just responding to all of the hype around it. It was a game that should not have received the hype it did.
I don't think that they're revolutionary. I don't wait with bated breath to the next Halo map update. I mean, we've kind of given our Halo spiel a bunch of times, but for those of you who are new, we don't hate Halo just because we hate Halo. We don't like Halo because it's a very overhyped game. It's an okay game. We're PC first-person shooter guys, so we can't use the sticks. Vehicles have been around for a while in the games. Again, we got into some of this discussion on the forums. We actually had a pretty decent PC FPS versus console FPS talk in the forums. It's actually pretty good. We talked about Halo 2. We got a lot of slack for how we rip on Halo 2, but it was one of the few arguments that I've seen that it wasn't just fanboys calling each other noobs. It was actually well thought out, or reasonably so. Kudos to the forum dwellers.
The forum dwellers?
They're like the people under the stairs.
LT Carter, 47. He sent me a picture of him wearing a DreamStation t-shirt. Now, ironically enough,
somebody
he's standing next to
somebody bought the DreamStation t-shirt?
It gets better.
Ironically enough, he's standing next to his wide, huge TV. It looks like a nice big Sony TV. What's on said TV? Take a wild guess what game's on the TV. Just take a guess.
Halo.
Halo 2. So thank you, Lieutenant Carter. Appreciate the patronage. This one is from Joshua Harris from New York City. Hey, DreamStation crew. I've been listening to your show since you started, and from the first episode, I knew it was going to be something special. Great work, and I hope you continue. Well, thank you very much. Here's my question.
I've been told I've been special on more than one occasion.
He says, I can't stand it any longer. Almost every week on this show, there's a mention about how useless the PSP is, based on the fact that it has no games. Although I agree that the selection of games right now is small, I don't agree with giving the PSP the backseat. In fact, if you check the list of upcoming titles for 2006, you'll find a large selection of new and exciting games coming out. My question is, based on the fact that the PSP is still a young platform and that there is a lot of games on the horizon, would you still degrade it as a useless gaming platform?
As soon as a game comes out, no.
I hope this question makes for some discussion. Thanks for making a great show. So thank you, Joshua. Now go ahead and what you're going to say.
The fact is, I think we're all just getting a little upset with, here's this new system, here's this new system, here's this new system, and then it takes like a year, year and a half before it's even really worth buying, as far as like having enough games out to support, offset the cost and the hassle of buying a new system.
Absolutely agree.
Yes, it'll be a viable system, like Bob said, when the games come out. Just because they're telling you what's coming out doesn't make it viable. It becomes viable when the stuff is out and you can go buy it.
If you remember back when the DS came out, the Nintendo DS dual screen, we ripped on that quite heavily because, again, not any good games for it. Now, I play that almost as much as the consoles because I got Castlevania, I got Trauma Center. I like Zookeeper, even though, yes, that's a dumb game and I'll admit it because it's just Bejeweled. But there are a lot of really good games games for this thing. Plus, you can put all your Game Boy Advance games on it. So it's no longer a garbage system. The PSP someday very well may be a decent system to have.
Aside from suing cancer, Nintendo is like a bunch of cool people.
Okay, well, I just listened to the dude's theme, and that's pretty sweet.
Yes.
There's been a lot of sweet things in the mail this week. The picture of the kid with the DS shirt.
Yeah.
The Whoopi Llama song.
You guys rock.
Her story.
That's all. I got more emails, but we don't have time. We're running out of time. So I appreciate the emails. Thank you, guys. Please keep it up. These were actually some of the better ones. And
next topic.
Thank you for listening to our show. That was show 38 of the DreamStation.cc video game show. Check out DreamStation.cc for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. You can email us. Please do so. VideoGameShow@DreamStation.cc. Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Yahoo, Odeo, iTunes. You can subscribe.
Look for me on the Counter-Strike Source servers on BombSquad.com server.
BombSquad.
So you can be pwned.
Yeah, I gotta go buy it. How much is that? It's like $30 now. I think I might have to go buy that.
You could buy just the Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat and Half-Life 2 multiplayer at a reasonable price. Okay.
Again, a special shout out to everybody that sent us an email. The intro and the outro music was the MC Frag's Lap theme by Ben Drake. Check out his website, which again we will have in the show notes.
Music to own by.
Anybody out there in the video game industry, anybody who is related to video games, we're looking for some interviews. I got one or two lined up coming. Send us an email, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, and we'll see what we can do here. All right, thank you guys for being in on this debacle. It took 40 hours, almost 2 hours to record.
That was fun.